Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Dr. Terry Willard as my special expert guest. For over 30 years, Dr. Terry Willard, clinical herbalist and PhD, has studied the medicinal properties of plants. He is recognized as one of North America's leading clinical herbalists and appears regularly in print and electronic media as an exponent of responsible herbal use. Terry currently serves as the president of the Canadian Association of Herbal Practitioners and is a professional member of the American Herbalist Guild. Terry was also honored by the Canadian Health Food Association by induction into the CHFA Hall of Fame. Dr. Willard is the author of 10 books on the subject of herbs. Two of his books, Mind-Body Harmony and Dr. Willard Encyclopedia of Herbal Uses, have been particularly popular with the general public. An active practitioner and teacher, Terry has a clinic in Calgary, Alberta. He is also director of the Wild Rose College of Natural Healing, which serves both classroom and correspondence students around the world. Terry lives on an organic farm on the eastern slopes of the Rocky Mountains, outside Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Good morning, Terry, and welcome to SNU.
Good morning, Corey.
It's great to have you on the show, and I've been looking forward to this interview. I know that you are going to share a lot of interesting things with our listeners.
Well, thank you.
Terry, can you tell us how you actually got started in the natural health field?
Well, it started by virtually an accident, starting to work with small mammals in the Rocky Mountains on a study. And they hired two people to do it, and they hired me to all of a sudden do the botanicals instead, and that got me more interested in plants. And because I started studying the plants, I started doing a thesis on the edible medicinal properties of the plants in the Rocky Mountains, and that led to people wanting to find out what I had to know about it, and that kept on mushrooming, no pun intended, in the long run. By about 1975, I'd set up clinical practice here in Calgary.
So your original interest kind of moved in the direction that I guess now you're a specialist, or herbs are your real thing and your focus. What is it about the plants and herbs that fascinates you and that helps you use them in your application with patients in clinical practice?
Well, Corey, there's just so many aspects of it that thrills me every day, even after doing it for 30 years. It basically comes down to, on the pragmatic level, the herbs have evolved along the same levels as we have over the millions of years of evolution. And therefore, they're triggered biochemically to the same process as we are. We're triggered to use botanicals as medicines. And we have since, well, the good old cave days. You remember those days we hung out in the caves a couple million years ago or whatever? And they're hardwired into our body. So they have good biochemical aspects. But I'm just as interested in the energetics of the herbs or the vibrational medicine aspects of the herbs that seem to work quite a bit with our body, may it be our emotional body, our mental bodies, as well as our physical body, to kind of join in the party and be able to help us heal.
Now, I want to get into this vibrational aspect that you mentioned of plants that's fascinating. But, like, for example, can you give us a herb and some basic pharmacological aspect of how it works and how a plant that you can take in a capsule or tincture can actually affect change in a body so that maybe people can understand the potency or value of taking plants?
Well, again, there's so many aspects to this, Corey. You could take something as simple as St. John's wort that most people know. Certainly it has some biochemical aspects, some chemicals in it that have been proven to work on emotions, especially things like depression. I use it in my part of the world quite a bit for SAD, or seasonal affective disorders. I sure in Vancouver, when I have my clinic there, I use it an awful lot because people haven't seen the sun there as much as they might want to. In the winter, it's really good for, lack of better words, bringing sun into a person's life. On a physical level, we actually know there's biochemicals, may it be the hyperiform, the hypericin, and the isoquinones and things like this, that'll actually be able to have those chemical reactions.
So there are actual substances that are defined in medicine, and they are what affect the changes, but there's more to it than that also.
There's much more to it. It's kind of interesting that it blooms at the longest day of the year, meaning June 21st, or St. John's birthday, which is theoretically June 23rd. And it seems, as you know, I live on an organic farm, we have a much higher level of hypericin in our herbs on our farm. They do in most of North America because we live in the prairies where the skies are not cloudy all day, home, home on the range. And therefore, the sun concentrates these chemicals in higher quantities. We can get up to 1% hypericin in our plants. And so it seems like it's almost like a solar battery that brings a ray of life into a person's life in the middle of winter. So even though there's an actual biochemical here, we can see how that floats straight in to an emotional aspect of just kind of being like a solar collector. So it works on the emotional levels, both from a biochemical point of view and from an energetics point of view. But it even goes further than that. You can take just St. John's wort as a single drop, and it will work very significantly if a person has a problem with huge weather changes. May they be Chinooks, may they be bad weather. You can take it homeopathically to stop people who are addicted to heroin, because it'll make a person have an aversion to needles. And as you can see, various vibrational frequencies, it has a completely different aspect.
So all plants have multiple aspects in terms of not just their contents on a physical nature, but also what it's almost like what, there's more than what meets the eye.
Well, just like, you know, nobody wants to be taken just for granted just for their physical body. They have emotions. We have emotions. We have mental aspects, and we have spiritual aspects. So do the herbs have their emotional aspect, their mental aspects, and their spiritual aspects. And so you can tune into those various vibrations of the plant, and by doing that, you can have different aspects. So yeah, just like everybody you know has their own personality besides their physical body. Sometimes I have to look specifically at the physical body when a patient comes in. Sometimes there's emotional issues going on. Sometimes there's mental issues. Or maybe there might even be some spiritual angst that a person's going through. Herbs can be able to address each one of those once you learn how to tune into those vibrations.
Do you think it's a good idea to take some herbs, like people take vitamins, say you take your calcium every day, or do you need to give it a rest, so to speak?
Well, that's a good question. My old mentors used to say that you should only do them 6 days a week and take about a month off in the middle of the summer or something like that, or once a year. But, you know, the average person forgets usually once or twice a month anyway. So I tell my patients to do them straight through. Even though there are a few people that do it always, the average person misses once here and there. But there are some fortifying ones that you would want to take, just like vitamins, especially if you're on a special program. Let's say you're a diabetic and need herbs to help control blood sugar. Or in your area, if you're using some herbs to really help with bodybuilding, the herbs there are being now used more as a structural function thing, and you're taking them the same way you'd be taking vitamins and minerals. So it depends on the application, Corey, and it depends on what the need of the individual person.
That's good stuff. Now I want to talk about the Wild Rose College of Natural Healing. I actually studied there and found the courses to be of the highest quality and educational value. For those out there who don't know about the college, maybe you can talk about it, what its purpose is, and what types of courses and diploma programs you offer.
Well, Wild Rose College of Natural Healing has everything from little simple seminars that last for half a day up to full four-year programs. We have a practical herbalist, we have a master herbalist, and we have a clinical herbalist program. We also have a holistic health program for people who want to concentrate a little bit more on nutrition and or other types of holistic therapeutics. You can do our classes in classroom, of course, or you can do them by correspondence through the paper-based, or you can do them online via the computer. And that's one of the most exciting areas for us these days, because really an awful lot of people, especially some of the younger people, would rather do them online. One of the reasons is you get your question sheets marked within 30 seconds, and you know how you're doing. It can be a little bit more fast-track. So we have them classroom, paper-based, or electronic-based, whichever. I have some patients do a combination of them all. These can go all the way up to a level of a person becoming a clinical herbalist. Of course, in something like a clinical herbalist situation, there are courses that have to be hands-on, so you're not going to be able to get your clinical experience over the internet. You're going to have to either come here where we have clinical practicums, or in Vancouver we have outlets where people do clinical practicums, and various practitioners across Canada can help tutor you along the way.
Are there herbs that people can grow, like literally, maybe hydroponically in their own home, that they can use on a daily or weekly basis?
Oh, for sure. I mean, look at things like alfalfa sprouts and wheatgrass, to say the least. Especially in the winter, and especially coming into the spring of the winter, things like wheatgrass and sprouts are absolutely fantastic for a person to take. But most of the herbs do take a little bit longer. There are people that do hydroponic echinacea, but using them over a period of time, they just don't have the potency or the strength of the ones that we grow in the earth. There seems to be some kind of earth connection for most of them. So it depends. Obviously, I live in an organic herb farm, so we grow over 150 varieties in the Alberta area. In the Vancouver area, well, you can grow even more variety. Various parts of Canada, southern Ontario, got the things that you can grow there in the field. The herbs typically like to have their feet in the ground if they can, but there are some you can do hydroponically.
Now, what is your take on wheatgrass juice? Do you think it's something that's important to take or is important to look at?
Well, I personally think it's a super nutrient. In our household, when we get into the springtime, when I'm saying springtime, anywhere from about mid-March through to about June, we try to consume it at least three times a week. It's just kind of a rejuvenating tonic and as a pick-me-up. Of course, if I have cancer patients or people who are critically ill, maybe even something as simple as fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome, it seems to really give a boost. So I'm a good proponent of wheatgrass juice, but like anything else, some people overdo it and get fanatic on just it. So it can be problematic that way, too.
Now, I know you formulate health products and feature a wide range of products at the college for a number of health conditions. Can you tell us what is actually involved in the formulation of a Wild Rose product from start to finish? Like when you're thinking of something that you want to put out onto the market, where do you start and what are the steps that you take to actually get it from your mind into a bottle on the shelf of a health food store?
Well, in our case, we're in a lucky situation. We have a very busy clinic associated with us. We have 15 full-time practitioners here, so we have a lot of people going through. So an awful lot of our products are designed to respond to the needs of our clients, our patients coming through. So if we see new health conditions coming up or that we see more people using them, we formulate things in our lab at the farm to create little mini runs of things. Then we try them on people. And sometimes you don't get the formulation right the first time. You change it a couple times, and you improve it, and you see how that works. So virtually all of our products are different than almost any other products in the North American market. Each one are clinically tested on our patients before we even bring them to market. But it's a huge step taking it from little mini runs up to manufacturing runs. Then, of course, you have to acquire the proper herbs, and you have to be able to put them in bigger vats and or manufacturing process. And then there's all the laws with the government you have to go through and the labeling and the bottling and all those things. Fortunately, we have some really good people over in Penticton with the Trophic Labs that they can take care of most of that and make sure that it runs along smoothly for us. But it takes a lot of direction. And it usually takes a good year and a half to 2 years from when you conceptualize a product, you start testing it with people before you can actually get it to market. Then after that, and it's on the market, you bring it back into the clinic and you use it and see how it works on larger numbers of people. And sometimes you need to tweak it a little bit here, a little bit there. Unfortunately, with our new government regulations, tweaking is not as easy as it used to be 10 or 15 years ago, because every time you change the formula a little bit, you have to go through new sets of regulations. That's basically from start to stop how they get into the marketplace.
That's an excellent rendition that helps people understand the process. Now, what do you think about the new regulations, how we classify herbs and all the vitamins now as NHPs, and do you think that they're over-regulated? Do you think that some of the standards are too stiff? Does that limit you in your ability to get them out into the market?
Well, Corey, that is a very complex question itself. There are some very good aspects of it, meaning that now we know if we're buying Golden Seal, we're actually getting Golden Seal. So some of the regulations are really good because, let's face it, there have been some cheats in the market in the past. And because of that, a little bit slovenly, you want to make sure you're getting the right thing all the time. At the same time, it knocks out some of our smaller operators that are producing absolutely fantastic products because they can't go through all the regulations. So like anything like this is new, it has its good aspects, it has its bad aspects. For Wild Rose, it's not that big of a deal because we have got enough ducks in a row and a big enough manufacturing facility that we can go through that whole process. It does take longer. We can't respond to things quite as fast as we used to be able to. But for us, it's good. For the industry as a whole, I don't even think we'll know the answer to that for 10 years or so. because we're going to lose some great products that just little mom and pop, lack of better words, almost like local brewery type things, you know, the little micro breweries that are making their own little products. We're going to lose some of those things, which is kind of sad.
I'm thinking of Cava Cava and what's gone on behind the scenes regarding its limitation and access. I know that you are well aware of its beneficial effects. How is it possible that a product like that, that is so beneficial and has been used for so long in parts of the world the way it's been used, how is it possible that it's banned in Canada, for example?
Well, I think that would come down to public, or should I say government corruption, more than anything else. I know it's a fairly bold statement, but I happened to be on the International Committee of CAVA when that got taken down. And so we were lucky enough, we hired an independent epidemiologist from University of Illinois, Chicago-based, and he did a complete study on all the people that had the problems over in Europe with doing CAVA and concluded that there was no correlation between the CAVA and these problems, and that it was literally a political move by a pharmaceutical company trying to get CAVA off the market so they could bring their product as a muscle relaxant on as a pharmaceutical, because the CAVA was cheaper, more accessible. So it was a financial, political move on European countries, and our government, instead of going with the solid science that was done by independent epidemiologists, they decided to go with what was happening in governments in other countries and do it that way, which was obviously flagrant misuse of power for the use of bringing pharmaceuticals online. But let's face it, the pharmaceutical companies still are the biggest lobbyists. So it's a sacrificial lamb that we've had to go through. And that kind of regulation, well, it obviously bothers me. CAVA is one of the greatest herbs. I've used it in my practice for a good 30 years and in very large quantities. And, of course, you can understand how much I like it when I'm on the international conference for it. But that's just the way these things go. It's come back in some places in the United States. And with the new regulations, with the new science, we might even get it back in Canada in 4 or 5 years.
So rather than being a conspiracy, quote-unquote, more like a hostile takeover and strictly just a function of business?
It was definitely a function of business. There's no question. When independent epidemiologists have been able to go through who did the studies, who did the things, and found out who they were employed with and stuff like that, it was an opportunistic business takeover. That's it. Conspiracy, it's kind of hard to, is that conspiracy or is that not conspiracy, Corey? It basically comes down to there were some people who were smarter in business and had deeper functions into the government. I don't think the government's doing a conspiracy thing. You know, I think we'd give them way too much credit to think that they can actually go that way. I really do. It's a function of money.
Gotcha. Now, I know that one of your most popular products sold in health food stores across Canada is Herbal Detox. It's in my home. It's in the home of a lot of people. I know I've been recommending it. What is this product all about, and how or why is it used?
Well, it's one of the fundamental axioms, or what I should say, the pillars of the foundations of natural healing in general, and that's to cleanse yourself. People often do it. Our ancestors did it at least twice a year, and they ate organic food because they had no other choice but to eat organic food. So really what it is to kind of be a tune-up. Most of us will tune our car up once or twice a year, at least do an oil change. The idea here is to tune up your body and get everything running a little bit smoother. So it's very simple. It's a concept of eating a subtle diet for 2 weeks. And you can eat all the food you want. So it's not like you're being a celibate monk up in the mountains of Tibet, only eating alfalfa sprouts. You can eat good, healthy food, and we use some herbs that are going to clean out the liver, ones that are going to clean out the blood, ones that are work on the urinary tract, and, of course, the digestive colon tract. And by doing that and just cleaning out the body and doing a tune-up anywhere from 1 to 4 times a year, we can get people started back on the program. The best times of the year to do it are in the spring and fall. We have really a lot of people doing it right after Easter and right after Thanksgiving. But I got to admit, the second most popular time to do it is right after the festive season in January. People come in and go, "Father, for I've sinned. I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Give me a detox." And it helps get a person back on their program. And, you know, we have our festive seasons and we kind of falter a little bit. And then we can get back on our program, may it be a yeast program or may it be a weight program or whatever. The detox is a good leg up to continue on with.
Great. Now, I saw you present an excellent seminar recently on mushrooms, and it was fascinating, the information that you provided. Can you tell us something about mushrooms and why they're so beneficial to take?
Well, mushrooms are just super concentrated foods, and I think it's one of the areas of research that we're going to see the most in the next 10 to 15 years. Because there's certain things we didn't even know a couple years ago. When I did my first degree in environmental biology back in the 70s, at that point in time, we thought the funguses are part of the plant kingdom. Now we know they have their own kingdom. So there's a fungi kingdom, which is a great thing to look at. Because the fungi kingdom has all kinds of aspects we never thought before. Probably one of the most significant things, some of these higher-level mushrooms have 90% of the same genetic code as we do. Shocking as that may seem, it's really true. The interesting thing is they've been around for millions upon millions of years longer than we have, and therefore they already have biochemical strategies for working with things like radiation, with cancer, with viruses, and therefore they're some of our best allies. Especially with some of our modern diseases we're having, the mushrooms are one of the best tonics to fortify us and build up our immune system and be able to help us with athletic feats for sure, mental feats, but things like cancer. Some of these herbs have had over 1,000 scientific papers written in the last 15 years on their aspects of working with cancer or blood cholesterol or chronic fatigue or combinations thereof. So I'm pretty thrilled with the fungi. Besides, I consider myself a fungi, so it only makes sense for me to study fungi.
What about when I'm in a shopping store and buying produce? Are those mushrooms that they have for sale worth anything?
Well, they do have a quality to them, but they're not the same ones we're talking about, the medicinal ones. The medicinal ones are much, much more concentrated. But if you do like eating mushrooms, as I do, you would tend to want to cook them. It's different than you would think of with salads and stuff like that. You get a little bit more nutrient value out of them when they're raw or cooked al dente when they're lightly cooked. The mushrooms, you want to cook the living bejesus out of them, excuse my language, but you want to thoroughly cook them to break them down. Those are already in a broken down state when they're in encapsulated form. But of course, you can buy shiitake mushrooms and eat platefuls of them, but literally a huge plate of shiitake mushrooms is equivalent to 2 capsules because of the level of concentration. And the part of the mushroom we're using, we're actually using the mycelium mass. And this will get into a whole technical thing here, Corey, but actually what we think of as mushrooms is, lack of better words, the fruit of the tree. It's like an apple on an apple tree or a papaya on a papaya tree. And that's just the fruit. What we're often using is the real tree, or what's called the mycelium, the mushroom. And sometimes the chemicals are more concentrated and the energy are more concentrated in the mycelium.
Have you ever come across anybody that craves raw mushrooms or just likes eating them? And what would that mean to you?
I would say that, no, I haven't. I can't think of anyone that situation is. But to me, it would indicate that the person's wanting to go through some kind of detoxification. Let's face it, Corey. When we say someone's treated like a mushroom, they're kept in the dark and they're fed dung. We would put mushrooms on the dung of other species and it would transmute that energy into nutrients that we can put on our pizza or in our mushroom burgers or whatever you want to do. We think that's good enough to put in our salad. And they have a great transmutation capability. So mushrooms in general, I consider the great alchemists, the great transmuters. They can take the toxins in your body and be able to clean them out very sophisticatedly. But they can also help your athletic capabilities. I mean, let's face it, the number one athletic enhancing substance on the planet right now that's legal is a mushroom, cordyceps. It will really increase one's stamina, one's energy, help a person take on way more oxygen. That's why it's heavily used by Olympians right now, because people who consume it break world records. It's that simple.
Now, how would you use cordyceps if you were an athlete?
Well, it depends. I've worked with several athletes working with them. As you probably know, most of our winter team, Olympic winter team here is in Calgary, so I have a whole bunch of skiers, may they be cross-country skiers, downhill skiers, or whatever the case may be. And just by consuming it in capsule form, in the realms of 2 to 3 capsules twice daily, what it does is it opens up the bore in the respiratory tract, meaning their bronchioles will actually be able to take on way more oxygen. Therefore, they can burn their fuel in their body richer. It's no different than boring out the car engine so you can get more horsepower out of your car. It can be very easy like that. Of course, in China, where it's mostly used, sometimes they drink it as a tea and they consume huge amounts of it to be able to increase oxygen utilization in your body. It can be as simple as taking two capsules twice daily, a cordyceps, all the way up to really supercharging yourself with a mycelium base, which is obviously more expensive.
Now, what's that connection between cordyceps and that little caterpillar?
Well, there's no question that it is, when you were a little kid, someone says that you're the fungus that grows in the belly of a caterpillar. Well, this is it. Really, cordyceps itself actually grows on a caterpillar, and it's a mushroom that comes out of a caterpillar. But point in fact is the stuff you're going to find in the health food store has no caterpillars that have been harmed in the process of manufacturing these things, because you can now take the actual spores of this, the mycelium base, and grow them organic millet or organic buckwheat or even rice and grow it there and get a just as potent function of the mycelium as you could the caterpillar ones. The caterpillar ones are very, very expensive because they're only found in the high mountains of Tibet, so they're very rare and can be up to $2,000 an ounce. I mean, you'd have to be a pretty elite athlete to be able to afford that. So the price over the last 20 years of cordyceps has really come down to a reasonable level of, you know, we're now talking a couple hundred dollars a kilo, which is substantially different than $2,000 an ounce.
Can you think of other herbs that would be good for an athlete to consider using?
Oh, definitely. There's tons. Probably one of my most favorite ones is rhodiola. Rhodiola was heavily researched over the last 30 years in Russia as an athletic enhancing herb. It was used, well, it was used to create elite soldiers, really. What, and it grows in Canada. It grows in our northern Arctic. Rhodiola is also called rose root because when you dig it up, it has kind of a rose smell to it. And it enhances, especially in bodybuilding, it helps a repair of muscle tissue twice as fast when a person does it. It helps deliver the oxygen and work with the ATP at the muscular level. But its biggest thing is the repair function. It also gives you more stamina. It doesn't give you quite as much stamina as the cordyceps. And I would have to say Siberian ginseng gives you a little bit more stamina than rhodiola. Siberian ginseng also helps in the repair of muscle tissue, but it's not quite as strong as the rhodiola in the muscle tissue. So the most elite soldiers are using the rhodiola, and the, should I say, the executive were using the average Siberian ginseng. So we can almost consider rhodiola super Siberian ginseng, which is completely different than the other Panax ginsengs. Does that answer your question there, Corey?
Yeah, it's excellent. I know that you could go on and on and on, and there's literally hundreds, perhaps even thousands of herbs that you could pull from your armamentarium, your mental chest, more or less.
But those three are the ones that we use the most with the Olympians these days. Rhodiola, Siberian ginseng, and, of course, the cordyceps. But let's face it, an awful lot of athletic things are psychological as much as they are physiological. So sometimes we have to deal with the energetics. I often use a lot of reishi with my patients just to be able to keep them calm. Because when you're going into competition, sometimes you get so hyper and so much adrenaline go there that you peak before your performance and it doesn't work. So you got to keep calm and focused. And the reishi as a mushroom helps a person do that a little bit more. So I often use a reishi cordyceps mixture for that.
That's excellent. Now, speaking of that energetic stuff, in your latest book, Mind-Body Harmony, you talk about the practice of energetic or vibrational medicine. What is vibrational medicine? And tell us more about your experience using this form of medicine.
Well, the physicists are telling us, I don't know if you've seen the movie What the Bleep, but the quantum physicists have really gone deep into this, and that's a very good example of how the public can see it in the movie What the Bleep. Is it shows that everything in our known universe is made up of a vibration. It's electromagnetic or a magnetoelectric frequency. The herbs are made up of that. The vitamins are made up. Our physical body is made of it. But so are our emotions and our mental concepts. By being able to dial into the little vibrations of the herbs and or the vitamins and or any other therapeutic agent, may it be something like yoga or tai chi or body work, by being able to tune into the various frequencies, you can be able to help a person in a more holistic way. So instead of just working on their physical body, you work on their emotional body, their mental body, and their spiritual bodies. So this would sometimes mean that I would use a herb as a whole ingredient, or sometimes I would use it as a flower essence, or sometimes I would use it as a homeopathic to be able to work with the various parts. Sometimes I use what's called a homochord, where I'm using a combination of all of the above, some physical herbs, some etheric herbs, some vibrational herbs in the form of flower essences, and some homeopathics. So we're just trying to work on a little bit wholer aspects of the person's personality, because let's face it, an awful lot of stresses, especially when they come to the immune system, autoimmune diseases, are related to the emotional stress aspect just as much as they're added to the physical body. I first started getting into this because I found that some of my strongest, healthiest patients were coming down after 10 or 15 years with some of the worst issues. That was perplexing to me. I hadn't been seeing some of these people for 25 years. How come all of a sudden they're coming down with chronic fatigue syndrome or really bad rheumatoid arthritis or things along those lines? And I realized their own physical strength was helping attack themselves. MS was coming from self-sabotage. So we can use the herbs to be able to help reduce that self-sabotage.
Wow, that was great. Unfortunately, our time is gone. I would just love to get into more of this, and we're definitely going to have you back as a guest, Terry.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's just been excellent. Very, very informative. Now, do you have a website or phone number that our listeners can call for more information about Wild Rose products or the education courses available through the college?
Well, our best website for this would be, of course, www.wrc.net. That's wrc.net for wildrosecollege.net. Our phone number locally is area code 403-270-0936. But we also have a toll-free number. That's 1-888-WLDROSE, or that ends up being 1-888-953-7673.
Great. Thanks again, Terry, for participating as our special expert guest on this edition of SNU. And before you go, would you mind sharing a final word of inspiration or health advice?
Well, I think the best thing we can do with ourselves is be true to ourselves. Sometimes we try to impress the outside world and aren't true to ourselves and our own personal needs. We have to take a break for our own selves once in a while to come in tune with ourselves so we can feel like we're wholer, healthier person. And I don't think there's ever been any better healer on the planet than sleep and love.
Dr. Terry Willard, clinical herbalist, PhD, thank you very much.
Good day, Corey.
This concludes this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. We hope you have enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview. SNU is produced monthly and is a division of Holly Health Services, located in Burnaby, British Columbia. For details regarding subscription, please visit CoreyHolly.com. This is Doug Austin, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent a lifestyle. New way of life. Listen, it's SNU, sing along, it's true, yo, coming through straight, Malik, with Sports Nutrition Update, prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long, till your time is gone, so I sing this song, to pass on wisdom, hit us up, at CoreyHolly.com, love your life, live right, things will be alright, knowledge is key, just follow our lead, you'll see ya, changing heart and health, which leads to wealth, and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.